You may be seated.
You know, sometimes in our walk with Christ, especially if you've been doing it a long time, sometimes we miss the goodness of God because of the things that we see, the negativity, the darkness, the sin that this world often grips us in, right? And we forget about all the blessings that we've had in the past or that we have each day as we wake up, right? That God is a good God. He's really a good God. And sometimes we just forget that. But this song is about reminding us that he's the king of my heart and that he is a good, good God. So if you know it, sing it out.
Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
So this week I chose a couple old songs just because my mom and dad are here. They're coming to the second service. So, and my mom is in a big modern church, and she loves her church, don't get me wrong. But they don't do a lot of the old songs, so I know sometimes she misses them. So I chose a couple this morning because I knew she was going to be here. So But I know you guys love this song. This is a classic song, How Great Thou Art. It just speaks for itself. And it's one of those songs that most people have heard once, even if they're not a Christian, they've heard this song, right? And so just let this wash over you and just sense the blessings that God has for you each day and just sing it out.
God, when I am
next song is called Sinking Deep. And I hope you're here this morning ready for whatever God has for you, that you're wide awake, that you want to draw close. Sometimes we go through our lives and we just kind of go through the motions, especially if we've been Christians for a long time. Sometimes we get stuck on that path of just kind of going through the motions. But I really want to be here today. I want to hear something from God. I want to be blessed by God. If there's something I need to change in my life, I want to be wide awake to be ready for that this morning. I hope that's your prayer as well.
Standing here in your presence, in a grace so relentless, I am won by perfect love. Wrapped within the arms of heaven, in a peace that lasts forever, sinking deep in mercy. I'm wide awake, drawing close, stirred by grace, and all my heart is yours. All fear removes, I breathe you in, I lean into you.
could stand for this last song and just proclaim the truth of Jesus' name, that it's beautiful, it's wonderful, and most importantly, it holds the power to free us from the darkness, to free us from our sin, whatever you need him to be this morning. So let's just sing this out. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
How's everybody doing? Good. It's Cal's birthday. Give him a big yay. Woo! That's exciting. I'm glad for him. I'm glad that he chose to be here today to join us, too, with his birthday. Anyway, we've been working through the series, Sermon on the Mount. This is part 11, right? It's been a four-month journey. It's going to be a four-month journey by the time we're done. And last week, Tracy did a great job talking about laying up our treasures in heaven. Again, you see so many people chasing after the meaningless, right? What do you leave behind when you die? Everything, all right? The only thing you take to heaven are those that maybe you point it to glory. And so she was talking about laying up treasures in heaven, right? And to see our stuff, if you have stuff, praise the Lord for your stuff. God longs to bless his children, but see it as a means to an end. Do you know that it's a resource that you're supposed to be using for the kingdom? It's not yours, right? And if you start to tap into that everything you have is given to you as a blessing of God to be used for the kingdom, and you start to use it for kingdom things, you'll find out that you can never outgive God, because God's going to open up the floodgates of heaven and pour it out on you. It's not a name it, claim it thing. It's a responsibility thing, right? It's a beautiful thing. So anyway, she challenged us on that, and I hope that you heard that. If you didn't, go back and listen to the podcast, right? We need to understand that we're not residents here, right? As she made very clearly, we're only passing through. So focus on good things. Focus on kingdom things. Well, today we're going to be moving into a topic that's kind of interesting, and it's really, really in our culture. It's predominant. It's this idea of anxiety. How many know somebody, it might be yourself, that once in a while deals with anxiety? Oh, he's going to ask me to put my hand up. I'm so worried, right? Like you do. You feel anxiety, and it's kind of interesting. It's moving through society and our culture in such a way. You know what? There has never in the history of the world been more therapists, more psychiatrists, more counselors, and they have many other names for them, right? Like there's so many, life coach, right? Wow, I want to hire a life coach because that sounds different than a counselor. No, they're all the same thing. And it's amazing to me, and the categories that they deal with, like people will come in here because I have counseling in my background and that sort of thing, and I've been doing this for way too long, and they'll come in for financial counseling. It's a good thing I'm good with money, right? They'll come in for relationship counseling. Good thing I'm good with relationships. Where's Allison? I was going to get her to say amen. She went to pick up her mother and father, right? That we have marriage counseling beyond relationship counseling. We have children's counseling. They even have therapists for your pets. Wow, right? Now, I've never taken my rabbit hound to a therapist, right? But she snuggles a lot more. I had two rabbit hounds, and my Charlie, that was my favorite hound, although you're not supposed to have favorites. I tell the little one now she's my favorite dog that I own. But 2 years ago, my oldest hound died, and I miss her, and my little hound has never been the same. That changed her, right? She always wants to snuggle with me. She always wants to come up. She's always looking at me with those cute little eyes, and I say, you are the dumbest animal on the planet, but you're so cute. Come on up here, right? And so I love on her, right? And I give her therapy in a lot of ways. I haven't taken her to a therapist yet. We haven't gone that far. We've talked about it, but it's okay, right? But think about the medications that are prescribed out there. It's amazing to me, and here's the deal. I don't have a problem with medications that are in their place. The problem is I see society is so anxiety-filled that medication seems to be our first response instead of our last resort. Now, that concerns me, and it should concern you too, right? I kind of feel like we're very, very quick to medicate, and all we're doing is making pharmacies very, very... it's a lucrative deal, right, is what it is. And so that's kind of scary to me. But no matter how we look at it, worry is part of our world. If anything, the last 2 years has proven this pandemic, right? Like, be scared! It's all coming to an end! Get your 15th shot, right? Like, I mean, it's amazing to me what they're doing. And then as soon as that starts to level out, monkeypox. Please beware of monkeypox. It's going to take over. And I kind of going, wow, we live in such a world that is filled with anxiety, and that's a big part of how we're taught to live. Now, is that right? No, right? I want to read from you this passage from Matthew 6, starting to read at verse 25, where Jesus talks about anxiety. He says this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow and reap or store away in barns, and yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor and spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Ah, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Interesting, right? When we look at how worry and anxiety has become a business, right, in our today's culture, it's fascinating to me that even back then, there was a lot of people that seemed to worry. And what does worry do? It robs us of time. It robs us of blessings. It robs us of today because it robs us of our peace, right? And Jesus tells us that, you know what, worry was a part of their lives, but it's a part of their lives that they could do without. That holds true for you and I today. Do you know that worry is a part of our lives that we could do without? And so Jesus gets very plain. Do not worry about what? He says, first, don't worry about your life, right? It's not in your hands, if we're getting real specific about that, that control is just an illusion. You want to be free, give control over to him. But he says, don't worry about your life. More specifically, don't worry about food, don't worry about drink, don't worry about your appearance or your clothes. And what is his explanation and what is his logic to that? We hear it and it sounds so good and it makes sense to us. God feeds the birds and the flowers are stunning. So don't worry about it, right? If God cares about those insignificant things, then guess what? He really is looking after you. Why? Because he's Father. Remember the purpose of the Sermon on the Mount, right? Jesus' manifesto, to display the kingdom, to say the kingdom has come right now on earth, and he is our heavenly Father. He's a good Father, and you are his child. Well, surely, if he cares about the grass and the birds, surely he sees you. What is the best use of your time, then? It's not to worry. It's to invest in kingdom things. And Jesus gets real practical here, which is kind of interesting, right? He wants us to take a hard look at what is important to us and what we value. He's giving us a shakeup, and he asks us to reprioritize our lives, right? He hits home in verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do you know how much time as a counselor I see people waste in worry? It's incredible. It's incredible. And I confess, early on, there was times where I would do this, but 90%, probably higher than 90% of the time, we worry about things that never, ever become reality. And you know what? That changes as you mature. That changes as God continually comes through for you. You start to trust him in deeper levels and better ways, but there's so many times. So let me give you an example. Have you ever worried about a meeting? Oh, no. The professor asked me to come in. Oh, what does they want? What do they want? The professor, oh. And then you go there, right? You spend all day worrying about the professor wanting to meet with you, and you get in there, and they're like, do you got tickets to the game tomorrow night? Oh, I thought I was failing, right? Or, oh, Dr. Neil asked me to come in. Oh, and he made it for a week from now. And I spend a week worrying, right? And then me and my hound come in, right? Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. This is it. And we go in and we wait for Dr. Neil and I'm tense. And all of a sudden he opens the door and he goes, are you going to the barbecue next weekend? I'm going, oh, you're going to live, buddy, right? And I hug my hound and I go, why did I spend all of that time worrying? You hear a noise on the car, right? Maybe you've done this. Driving along, all of a sudden you hear Al. You're going, oh, dear Lord. Oh, I got to check my bank account. Oh, the car is going to blow up. I'm going to need a new car. And then for the next week, you're all worried about that. And then you finally get to your mechanic, those of you who aren't mechanically inclined. And he goes, yeah, your heat shield was coming off. I put in a bolt. Don't worry about it. Right?
Like, we worry so many times needlessly, and Jesus is addressing that. He's saying we waste too much of our days worrying about what never will happen, and that time is wasted. Shouldn't we be spending our time in better ways? Even if it's something that you are frustrated with or something that you're struggling with in life. For instance, if you hate your job, right? And you think about that and you go, man, I'm worried about my job. I don't like this job. And all of a sudden you can't sleep. And you know, before your shift starts, have you ever had that? Your stomach just gets in dots. You're like, whoop, whoop. Gonna be fine. Gonna be fine. And you know, going into work, oh, my stomach, right? That's pretty gross. If you're listening on the podcast, that's kind of funny though, right? And so all of a sudden you're worried about work. Well, why in the world are you wasting time worrying about work, even when you're not at work, because that's the time you're supposed to be resting? If you wanted to spend that time more efficiently, why wouldn't you start doing up your resume and looking for a different job? But we don't. We get caught focused on the wrong things, and then we get stuck so many times as humans, and Jesus knew that that would happen. And he says, you know what? We focus in, and the focus seems to be worry instead of solutions. This is another example. We have people here all the time who call to say, you know what, can you help me with this? Now, we as a church try to live very generously. We try to help people out. We try to love our community. One of the ways we do that is we help them not just in a moment. We try to help them with lifestyle changes that will help forever, right? So we have people all the time who are calling and say, you know what, can you pay my electric bill? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Right? What's your electric bill? Like, I've learned to ask that question first. It's only $4,368. I'm going, what? Right? How long have you not paid your electric bill? Like, this didn't happen overnight, right? Unless you got a meth lab downstairs or something weird, right? So I'm going, how in the world did this get out of hand? And or maybe it's food. They'll say, can you buy me food? And I said, of course I'll buy you food. But let's go over your budget, because you know what? You should be buying food on your own. Right, I buy food for my family, so I have to budget that. And so I'll say, let's go over some of those things. And one of my questions that we ask people, regardless of what the need is, we'll say, what are you doing at present to try to fix this problem?
Well, I called you.
I'm going, that's fantastic.
Well, I called other churches too.
I'm going, oh,
I've called every like charitable organization this week. I've called them all.
And I'm going, well, that's fantastic. I said, so you're not working right now?
No.
I'm going, okay. I said, well, you know what? One of the things that I would like to do is we're trying to solve this problem is why don't you come into the church and we'll do up a resume and we'll update your resume. And I know several places that are looking for work, but we'll find something that maybe matches you, something that you wouldn't mind doing. And maybe we can get you working.
I haven't got time for that. Click.
I go, wow. Right? We worry about things that sometimes never happen, or we worry about things that we should be changing and finding solutions for. And what Jesus is saying here in the scripture, he's very clear. He's saying, stop that. Stop. That's what the pagans do. They spend their time on the problems, and they don't seek the solutions. And Jesus here, this whole foundation on the Sermon on the Mount, was for us to see those two things. What two things? First, the kingdom. Right? And then the Father. He wants us to see the kingdom. He wants us to see the Father. And when we start to look at those two things through clearer lenses, our whole lives will change. If we could have that focus, our whole lives would change. And remember that if God is a good Father, well, then you know what? He wants to give good things to his kids. Why don't we put a little more faith in the good Father? Does God know what you need? Yeah. Right? Jesus is talking about that in Matthew 6, verse 8. He says, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And if the good Father knows what we need before we ask him, why do we spend so much time worrying? It's wasted time. Right? Instead of worrying, why not plow and sow and gather and let God worry about the amounts? You know, and Jesus talks about this in scriptures, about focusing on the right things, right? An example of that would be Mary and Martha. How many remember that story from Luke 10? Mary and Martha, two sisters. Jesus comes to their house on an invitation, and what happens? Martha is distracted by all the preparations. Jesus is here. Got to make sure Jesus has enough to eat. Got to make sure Jesus has enough to drink. Got to make sure that Jesus is comfortable. And she's running around the house like a chicken with its head cut off. Martha is working, working, working for the preparations. Where's Mary? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus listening. Right? Imagine two sisters. It's good to know they fight. I grew up with a brother. It was bloody. It was awesome. Right? I'm glad to know that sisters fight too, which would have been more cool, I think, if they'd got into a bare-knuckle brawl. But Martha gets mad, right? She's doing all the work, and she says to Mary, who's sitting there, saying, why in the world are you just sitting there? Jesus addresses it. Luke 20, verse 41, he says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Stop the worry. See the kingdom. Stop the worry and choose the better. Stop the worry and do what you can and then trust. You see, our culture has us wasting so much time because we're following the wrong things. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28, follow me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're pulling hard, you're doing it wrong, because Jesus already pulls hard for you. He's reminding us that worry, it's a faith issue, and faith and worry are linked, right? We have one or we have the other, but they're in conflict. So what Jesus is reminding us in this passage in the scripture, he's saying, if you have little faith, you're going to have lots of worry. And in contrast to that, if you work on your faith, if you have lots of faith, then you're going to have little worry. But make no mistake, worrying and anxiety is not what's best for you. Worry doesn't solve anything. Worry wears you out and gets you further down in the dumps. We need to stop it. That's the way the pagans live. You're to focus on faith and to know that God already knows what you need before you ever ask. And you're to store up treasures, not here in our closet. Tracy reminded us of this. We're to store up treasures in heaven. So let's do this. Everybody, close your eyes. Whew. Everybody who thought it was cold in here, it's not cold in here now. I'm turning on the other heat pump before next service. Are you one of those people, and again, you know what? Confession is good for the soul. I'm not asking you to put up a hand or come up front or say anything. I just want you to be real with yourself. Jesus was so raw and real. That's what I love about the gospel. I want you to look internally. I want you to look at your life. Are you one of those people who waste time worrying? Worrying about what could happen, worrying about what may happen. Worry, worry, worry. If you're one of those people, I want you to take a deep breath right now. Instead of worrying, why don't you spend time on solutions, right? Run those scenarios in your head and find solutions with the direction of the Heavenly Father, and then you can rest. Maybe you're one of those people who spends a lot of your time worrying about the earthly things instead of the eternal things. Right? You feel like you need to have the ultimate plan. Why? Aren't we supposed to be following the one who is the ultimate planner? Surely he knows the way. Oh, I remember reading that somewhere. I am the way. You got him. Why do you need to know? Why do you need to know? So if you've been wasting time worrying about earthly things, I want you to take a deep breath right now. And I want you to start to think about the eternal. The Father is good. Can you not trust him? Yeah, you can. And as you start to trust him, guess what? Worry is put in its place, and it has no place in your life. all of a sudden you become a person of worry and you start to transform into a person of faith. And you know what? Leaving anxiety behind, whoo, that's freedom. I get it. If you battle anxiety, it's heavy, it's hard, it's gross. You were never meant to carry it. You were meant to let it go. Oh, that we would be people of faith like that. Let's do this. Nobody looking around. Would you confess this morning if that's something that maybe you struggle with? Do you have some anxiety issues on some of those fronts? If you do, just put your hand up real quick. I see some hands. I see a lot of hands. You know what? I expect to see a lot of hands. It doesn't surprise me at all. You can put your hands down. The world is trying to teach us to live with worry. God loves you more than that. He wants you to live free. Let me pray for you today. Father God, I want to say thank you. As we've been working through the Sermon on the Mount, there's been so much in my life that I just feel like I've had to take a second look at, to reevaluate and to surrender so many things to you. And Father God, that's when we're at our best. I want to say thank you for that. But right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against anxiety. And I come against worry in your name. Because the powerful name of Jesus wants us to be free, and I pray that freedom would be what we find. And Lord, I come against wasted time. I come against this deal of worrying about things that never ever transpire or worrying about things instead of thinking about solutions. Father God, I pray that we would be found calling upon the Holy Spirit always, always to lead us. That you are the greatest counselor and you're ours. That you are the greatest planner and you're ours. That you are the one who knows the way and you're ours. Would we spend time with you instead of worry? Would we fast worry, then seek solutions and seek who you are? Lord, I pray that we would find that better way. Give us freedom in the name of Jesus Christ and help us to focus on the life to come and stop being bound by the life that we're living. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.